Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We enter now into this holy season of Lent, a penitential season where we begin to exercise our Christian spiritual warfare. And we have a great example in our champion, Jesus Christ, who overthrew the devil in the wilderness after his baptism, when the Father declared, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus was then led of the Spirit into the desert, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and where he was tempted by Satan. Now, the penitential season is marked by 40 days. We emulate Christ in the 40 days of repentance and of prayer and of penitential discipline, including fasting. And we don't miss the idea that Jesus was overcoming Satan at a time when he was fasting. So we hear wrapped into the collect for today that it is by bodily abstinence that we are able to obey his godly motions. Yes, there is deep wisdom in fasting, in not allowing, in not eating whatever we want to eat, whenever we want to eat it, however much we want to eat, and with extra sauce on it, and maybe some extra chocolate syrup on the dessert, etc. There is medicine in fasting. When we see in Christ the great example that the language of love is not found in self-indulgence, it is found in self-denial. And so here is where Jesus wins the victory for us and for our sake, is through his self-denial, even to his self-oblation of the cross. And that is enjoined upon us now as followers of Christ. We begin to explore the mysteries of love when we enter into a life of self-denial. And fasting is a regular way that we do that. It's a humbling practice. It's a way to humble ourselves before God, to eat, not to eat, and or to take less food. And we need to study it with wisdom, according to our own ability and our own physiology and health, how we can take less food in a spiritual way and for a spiritual purpose. So Jesus, when he's tempted by the devil, we see that the enemy uses the same tactics that he used against the first Adam. He now uses against the second Adam, Jesus. And so the first Adam was tempted by the fruit of the tree, and the enemy comes to Jesus at the level of the belly and says, "You must be hungry after 40 days of not eating. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And here is a temptation that Jesus would really take matters into his own hands. And just like Adam and Eve in the garden, when they saw that tree and wanted that one too, they just took it and ate it. That Jesus would do what he needs to do to feed himself in the desert. But we see the Lord doesn't engage the enemy at just that level. He goes right to God. He lifts his eyes. Well, I say that. It's not in the scriptures. But we might say that as one would lift their eyes to heaven, he goes right to God and he says, "Ah, but it is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And here we see the lesson that he is going to wait for God's provision. It'll be in God's time that he will eat again. The same Lord, too, in the Sermon on the Mount, will give us instruction that we are not to be anxious about what we are to eat or what we're to drink or what we shall put on. Because God gave us our life in the first place, surely he will give what is necessary for our life. And this is the faith that we enter into, that we'll go to God for these things and not try shortcuts the enemy might suggest and not fret our lives away through anxious worry, but rather entrust to the God who is faithful, to God who loves us. And underneath it all is that attempt of the enemy to divorce Christ away or to distance him from God, who is his loving Father. And the enemy will often approach us that way too, to try and make us think that God is not good, that he doesn't care for us, that he will not provide for us, get us anxious about the future, and try and pull us away from God and to think the things that are earthly and not heavenly. Well, Christ shows us the spiritual principle that it is written that man will not eat by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so let us seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then all of these things shall be added unto us. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So the enemy does not have that approach on Christ. It worked with Adam and Eve, it doesn't work on Christ. The Lord is a better combatant, a better spiritual fighter. The enemy tries again. He takes Jesus to a pinnacle of the temple, and he says, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it's written that God will give his angels charge concerning thee, and you won't even dash your foot against a stone. So God will take care of you. If you jump off, prove it. Show us. Do this miracle. Now, this is helpful to us because we see that the Lord Jesus is tempted by Satan. In fact, here he's tempted with suicide, but he does no sin. And that's helpful to us because if Jesus was tempted and did no sin, then that means for us it's not a sin to be tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. Now, I've had people come to me in pastoral ministry that are really distraught about thoughts they've had of inflicting self-harm or even thoughts of suicide. It's a very scary place to be. And they feel like they are, that they're sinful because of these thoughts. Well, the question is, what do we do with that thought? It may be presented to us by the world, by the flesh, and by the devil. What do we do with that thought? Do we engage it? Do we run with it? Do we, begin to make plans to act upon it? God forbid. No, we reject it. It's not a sin to be tempted, but we must be very good at defending ourselves in the power of Christ against temptation. And so oftentimes a person will hold, there'll be a lot of power in these thoughts because they're holding them secretly, privately. But when they bring them out into the open with another person, one who is spiritually minded and thinking the things of God, then the darkness begins to vanish. And the enemy begins to lose his grasp. And we see the Lord Jesus do that as he is tempted by the enemy to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple. And the enemy is saying, oh, God will surely catch you. His angels will make sure you don't even hurt your foot. He rejects that by saying, thou shalt, it is written, again, looking to God, it is written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so the enemy doesn't have that hold on him either. So he tries again a third time in a similar way that he had tripped up our first parents, where he goes at him with the pride of life, or with the lust of the eye. And so he shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and the power of them. And he says, all this will I give to you. Right at a glance, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and all the power of them. Some commentators will say it's all the kingdoms through time, all that the world can offer. And so what price will Jesus, take? Obviously not a small one. How about all the kingdoms, all their power? All this will I give you if you fall down and worship me. Here we see the incredible arrogance of the devil, who is telling the Creator in human form that he's the one in charge of all these things that he'll give them. And as we know, the devil is the father of lies. He will not, carry out his promise. Even if he does have authority over some things, will he give them to Christ? Not the enemy. I mean, he is, look how he promised to our first parents that if they ate of that tree, and God said that if they ate of that tree, they would surely die. The enemy said, no, you won't. God knows in the day you eat of it, you should become wise. So he sets up this idea that God is withholding something good from them and that they shall be as gods. Well, will they be like gods? Will they be immortal if they eat of that fruit? No. No, in fact, the the penalty of death comes upon them, as God had told them, if you touch or take of that tree, you will surely die. Remember, O man, that dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return, was the sentence that God brought upon Adam and Eve after they believed that counter-authority and put their faith and trust in someone else than God. And here is where Jesus very deftly dismisses the enemy. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Him only. There is one God, and God the Lord is the one whom we serve, the first commandment, that we should have no other gods. God spake these words and said, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have none other gods but me. And Jesus fairly, very clearly and stands upon that principle of the worship of the one true God and commands the enemy to flee, and the devil leaves him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The Lord Jesus gives that to us for an example, that we too would not heed the treacherous voices that would lead our souls astray, but instead would hearken unto the Lord God and listen to him and follow him. When one of my nieces was little and learning how to speak, she had a phrase that was very helpful in the acquisition of knowledge. You could already tell she was wise, because she would walk around the house and she would say, this is this, that is that. This is this, that is that. Well, we need to use that kind of discernment. What is God and what is not? When we're conscious in our conscious thoughts, we're always using the filter, friends. We're trying to discern and discover what is real and what is fake. What is authentic and what is pretense? What is love and what is not love? And so the Lord Jesus shows us that we will defeat the enemy when we recognize who is God and who is not God. So may we take instruction from our Lord Jesus, our great champion, the one who came and defeated the empire of Satan and dealt it a death blow by his death and resurrection. May we take lessons from him, and may we allow his spirit indwelling us to overcome the enemy in our time and place, and share in his victory against the devil and his apostate angels, that we may rejoice in our glorious liberty as the children of God, and walk resolutely on the pilgrim path that leads to life eternal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.